The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. And these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation that he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. One of my supervisors over my vicarage year in Wheaton, Illinois, always had quick aphorisms, almost like little proverbs, words of wisdom that shed light on some sort of truth. One of his aphorisms was, "Heresy is always 10 degrees from the truth." That means heresy is always based in a truth, though the teachings of that truth are either underemphasized or overemphasized. For example, the heresy of universalism teaches that all people will one day be in heaven, believers and unbelievers alike. They get to this point by overemphasizing Bible verses like Romans 6, verse 10. Christ died for sinners once for all. And so they overemphasize God's grace and mercy in Christ and then completely ignore the reality that Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, the righteous and the unrighteous. There's another false teaching that many understand in our text today that's 10 degrees from the truth. Maybe you've heard it. Once saved, always saved. This teaches that once you're a Christian, there is no sin you can commit which would cause one to fall away from God. In essence, sins don't require repentance. It teaches that habitual sins are just fine. So once you're in the state of grace, you're in with God eternally. The sin can abound, and it bears no effect on my relationship with God. This line of thinking comes from verse 13 of our text when Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." This, in conjunction with verses like John 10:28, "No one can snatch my sheep out of my hand," teach about how God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And these verses in truth teach how our Lord is a fortress against the evil one in our temptations. And this is something that we should take comfort in. However, the Corinthian congregation prided themselves on their power and their freedom in the Spirit, prompting them to dwell in egregious sins with the understanding that they may never fall from God's grace, no matter what they do. This is exactly the teaching of once saved, always saved. If we look at the verses prior to 1 Corinthians 10:13 in our text, Paul doesn't teach once saved, always saved. He actually teaches the opposite. We see Paul using the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness as an example of what the Corinthians should not do. Some of them have wandered away from God. And Paul seems to think that the Corinthians are following in their footsteps, setting up idols, being sexually immoral, putting Christ to the test, and grumbling against God. These serious and weighty matters of the Corinthians' sinfulness are addressed by Paul in other parts of this letter. But Paul compares them to Israel here and gives this admonition. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. It seems to be true that we can learn just as much from bad examples as good examples. For example, I've heard of many who grew up around bad examples to look up to, whether that be their parents, their siblings, or friends or classmates. They were bad examples either because they were destructive towards others in what they said. They abused substances like drugs or alcohol, or they were adulterers. But having seen those bad examples, they saw where that path led to desperation, trying to crawl from day to day and being left lonely. And they were able to learn from others' mistakes. Paul urges the Corinthians and us to learn from the mistakes of the Israelites. Some of them were idolaters. They misused the gifts of God's creation. They put the comforts of sex, food, and drink above God himself. Satan tempted the Israelites with earthly gifts, and they fell into Satan's snare of following their own flesh in the path of the devil. And some among the Israelites perished eternally in the wilderness because the temptations to follow the creation rather than the Creator were just too strong. Yet at one time, they did follow the Creator. They followed Moses out of Egypt to the Promised Land. They were saved from the slavery of the Egyptians by the Red Sea waters. They were made free by God's free grace and mercy to only submit to the yoke of slavery their own desires. That's Paul's warning to the church at Corinth. And Paul's warning to us. God's free grace and mercy are not to be cheapened and abused. Do not take a stand against God in his word, lest one fall away from God. Do not be misled into a false comfort of salvation that would lead you to unrepentance and a lack of desire to increase in holiness, knowledge, and faith. That's the danger of once saved, always saved. It can lead to a complacency to sin and unrepentance after conversion. It can lead to a lack of desire for God's gifts given in word and sacraments by the church. It can lead to an understanding that God doesn't really have any wrath on the punishment of sin, so I'll just keep doing my sin. But that's so far from the truth. God despises sin. He despised the idolatry of the Israelites in the wilderness. He was angered by them and wrathful on them. He despised the sins of Corinth. And he despises our sins of thought, word, and deed, too. Our sinful nature leads us to rebel against God time and time again. We put ourselves and our worldly desires above following the path which God Himself puts us on. We deserve to be cast out of the promised land, just like the Israelites. Because we serve idols too, whether it's sports or our flesh or jobs. Our sins are serious. Paul points that out to Corinth, using the Israelites as an example. Our sins are so serious that God assumed human flesh and lived among us. Yet he didn't sin. He was tempted as we are, but he was sinless. He escaped the temptation of Satan in the wilderness, fulfilling what the Israelites couldn't do. He came to adulterers, thieves, tax collectors, prostitutes, drunkards, and sinners, and he healed them. That is, Jesus set them on the path to follow him. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. He assumed all sin, all sins into his flesh. And God's wrath towards sin was placed on his Son on the cross and not upon us. The cross not only shows the reality of God's wrath on sin, but it also gives us a reality of God's love for you. This love comes to us in the means of grace given in baptism, the Lord's Supper, and God's forgiving words spoken and preached. He comes to you through these means today to give you healing from your idolatry, whatever the subject of your idolatry may be. He cleanses your sin and empowers you to live a life of holiness and faith, casting aside your idols instead of following the path that they carve out for you. And in repentance, you constantly reorient your path from the idols of your heart and toward the path of our Savior. This path has costly grace. It costs the life of God's own Son, his body, his blood. And God comes to you with this divine promise. He is faithful to you. He will never leave you alone in your temptations. He equips you to fight the evil foe. And he provides a way of escape from these temptations, which seek to draw us away from faith in Christ. As one who's been marked, as one redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord in the waters of holy baptism, as one who partakes of his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, as one who hears of his cross and passion week in and week out,
as one who meditates on the Word of God daily. You are given the tools to withstand Satan's temptations and snares. Because God, who is faithful to you, delivers you from life-damning temptation and brings you to a life of righteousness. So you see, once saved, always saved is 10 degrees from the truth. We should have confidence in our salvation and the forgiveness of sins. We absolutely should. But not because we can't fall away from God's grace. Not because our sins are insignificant. Israel fell from God's grace in the wilderness due to their sin. And Paul uses that as an example to teach us that it could happen to us too. But we have confidence in our salvation and forgiveness because of Christ's cross alone. Because he is a bigger Savior than we are a sinner. Christ has taken away our sin through his death and resurrection. He's freed us from our sin so that we may live in the holiness and righteousness he gives to us. And so, as a result, Paul comforts us with these words. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.